ang ating bansa po ay nagbubunyi last week or last Monday dahil po sa isang achievement ng ating atleta, si Heidelyn Diaz, sa kanya pong kauna-unahang pagkuha ng Olympic gold after 97 years. At ito po ay tinutukan ng media, binantayan ng media, ibinalita ng media. However, what if kung si Heidelyn Diaz po ay nanalo ng Olympic gold sa pamamagitan ng pandaraya? Hindi po ba ito po ay isang kahiyahiya sa harapan ng bawat madla na ang buong mundo ay nakamasid? At isa sa mga nakahihiya dito ay tayong mga mamamayang Pilipino kung ito po ay ginawa sa paraan ng pandaraya. Parang si Lance Armstrong po, yung pong isang atleta sa United States Unidos, na siya po ang kinilalang 7-time cycling champion from 1999 to 2005. 7 years po niyang hinawakan tuloy-tuloy, consecutively. At ito po ang isang pinagdahilan ng pinapagdududa ng mga organizer at nagkaroon po ng malalim na pagsisiyasat ng investigasyon at napatunayan at siya'y umamin na siya po ay gumamit ng performance enhancing drugs at dahil po doon ay in-strip sa kanya ang 7 title na kanya pong nakuha. Eh ganyan po ang makikita po natin dito po sa chapter 10 ng Leviticus, na meron pong dalawang priest na nagsagawa ng kanila pong tungkulin, subalit ginawa po nila ito ayon po sa nararapat. At last Sunday ay ating pong tinalakay ang paksa ng background ng aklat ng Leviticus. Ating pong nakita na ang buong aklat ng Leviticus is a handbook. Natapos po ang Exodus sa kahuling kabanata nito, na natapos na po ang lahat ng mga gamit at mga bagay at kasangkapan sa Tent of Meeting, na kung saan ito po ang ipinangako ng Diyos na kapag ginawa nila ito ayon sa inuutos ng Diyos, ang kanyang espesyal na presensya ay tatahan sa kanilang kalagitnaan. Ang composition po ng Tent Meeting ay nasa sentro, nasa gitna. At ito pong Tent of Meeting ang nasa center aspect, at yung pong mga tribes ay nakapalibot. The 12 tribes is nakapalibot sa north, east, south, west portion ng gitna ng Tent of Meeting, ng tabernakulo. Pinapakita po dito na sa bayan ng Diyos, sa bansang Israel, ang Diyos ang pinakasentro ng kanilang kapulungan. At yan po ang makikita natin nang matapos na pong itayo ang Tent of Meeting sa Book of Exodus, dumating po ngayon ang aklat ng Leviticus upang bigyan ng mga regulasyon, rules and regulation. It is a handbook about the sacrificial system of Israel. Napakahalaga po ang sacrificial system ng Israel sa lumang tipan. At yan po'y pinag-aralan natin last week, na sa pamamagitan po ng kanilang costly and expensive offering, it is a concept of atonement. Why? Because all of this is a typology. It points through the New Testament that there would be a better fulfillment, a better coming of the sacrifice. It is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Ngayon, bilang context po o pinaka-background ng talatang ating pag-aaralan in Leviticus chapter 10, napakahalaga po na simulan natin sa chapter 8 and chapter 9. Bakit po? Sapagkat in Leviticus chapter 8, ito po yung detalye ng 7 days preparation para po they are going to ordain the priesthood. Remember, ito po ang kauna-unahang pagsamba na kanilang gagawin. At ang kanilang pagsamba, dapat po nating alalahanin, ay hindi po yung pagsayaw, hindi po yung paglundag, hindi po yung kanilang festivity. Kapag sila po'y nanalo sa digmaan, magsasaya sila, magse-celebrate sila, hindi po yun ang pagsamba. In the context of the Old Testament, ang pagsamba po is the offering, is the animal sacrifice. Ito po ay ginagawa sa altar na pinangungunahan po ng sasardote, ng pari, at kailangan po mayroong paghahandog. At ito pong nangyari sa chapter 8 is the 7 long day preparation in ordination of priesthood. And all of these were given by God through Moses. Bilang patunay, mahalaga pong pansinin natin ang mga sumusunod na talatang ito sa chapter 8. At pantayan nyo po yung mismong last phrase dun sa last verse na aking babanggitin. At dito po binabanggit ang expression or the phrase, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Mahalaga pong maunawaan natin, yung phrase na ito, yung bigat, yung kahalagahan ng phrase na ito, sapagkat ito po ang magdidikta ng kanilang pag-o-officiate ng kanilang animal or sacrificial system sa Old Testament. Turn your Bibles in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 5. Pansinin po natin sa verse 5, yung huling phrase, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 7, yung last phrase po sa chapter 8, verse 9, just as the Lord had commanded. Verse 13, and Moses and Aaron's sons come near and clothed with them tunics and girded them with shasht and bound cups upon them, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 17, yung last phrase again, it's about the bull, the flesh. He burned it with fire outside the camp, just as the Lord has commanded. Verse 21, again, the last phrase, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And verse 29, again, the phrase, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And in verse 34, basahin po natin to hanggang verse 36, and the Lord commanded to do as has been done this day, to make atonement for your behalf. At the doorway of the tent of meeting, moreover, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, that you may not die. So for so I have been commanded. Verse 36, thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. So natapos po ang chapter 8, yung ito po ay 7 araw na paghahanda para po sa installation into office of priesthood. It is about Aaron and his sons, na si Aaron po ang siyang tumatayong high priest during that time. And here comes chapter 9. In chapter 9, ito na po yung day 8. Yung first 7 days is the preparation about priesthood. Kung sino-sino yung mga tao, ano-ano yung mga kanilang gagawin, yung kanilang priestly garments, yung mga paghahanda po sa kanilang mga kagamitan, yung po mga bagay na kailangan gagamitin sa tabernacle, sa tent of meeting. It has been commanded for the past 7 days. Now, on chapter 9, this is now the 8th day. This is now the first official worship of God's people. It is now the first official day of the sacrificial system of the people of God. And in chapter 9, turn your Bibles in chapter 9, verse 5 to 7. So they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Moses said to Aaron, come near the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make an offering for the people, that you may atone for them, just as the Lord has commanded. So dito makikita po natin in chapter 9, the start of their official worship with God using the sacrificial system. And then follow me in verse 22 of same chapter, chapter 9, verse 22. Ito na po yung katapusan nung ritual, yung katapusan po nung kanya pong pag-aalay na ginawa ni Moses, ni Aaron dun po sa verse 5 na sinimulan hanggang verse 7. Now, in verse 22, then Aaron lift up his hands toward the people and bless them, and he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering, and Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When the people come out and bless the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all people. Verse 24, the last verse. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of the fat of the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Ano pong nangyari dito sa huling bahagi ng chapter 9? Dito makikita po natin si Aaron bilang high priest, siya po ay nagbigay na ng benediksyon. Ito po ay sinyales ng pagtatapos na ng kanilang pananambahan. Kung paano po ako ang nagbibigay ng benediksyon sa huling bahagi ng ating pananambahan, ayan po ang ginawa ni Aaron. At humarap po siya sa tao at pinagpala niya at sinabi po niya matapos niyang isagawa ang burnt offering and sin offering and peace offering. And then matapos pong mangyaring yon, ano pong nangyari? A very supernatural thing happened. The offering na kanilang inalay that represents ng kasalanan ni Aaron, ni Moses, at ang kasalanan ng mga taong sumamba sa Diyos. Ano nangyari? Tinanggap ng Diyos. Sa pamamagitan ng panung-panong paraan, niliyaban ng Diyos ang mga handog. At ito ay isang pagpapamalas na tinanggap ng Diyos ang kanilang unang pagsamba. What a tremendous and triumphant and a glorious occasion na nasaksihan ng mga tao. Successful! Nagawa natin lahat ang gusto ng Diyos. Tinanggap ng Diyos ang ating paghingi ng tawad sa Kanya sa pamamagitan ng mga dugo at handog na ating inalay. At sa pamamagitan ng kanyang pagsunog dito, pinatunayan niya na tinanggap niya ang ating 7 araw na pagpapagal. Eh just imagine ninyo, hanggang ngayon nagsasaya si Heidelin Diaz. Ang kanyang team HD ay nagsasaya. Eh tama lang po, no? Eh biro mo ilang taon po yung kanyang preparation for this event. Noon, makita po natin yung palabas po sa mga media, yung hirap, yung mga kakapusan ng gamit, pero ganun pa man ay nagpatuloy sila sa pagsusumikap. Even the strategy, even the, yung kanilang kalabang China, nagulat. Eh, kung tutuusin po, kung hindi nila ginamitan ng strategy, baka natalo si Heidelin Diaz dahil last time ang binuhat po ng China ay 229 kilos. So imagine, because of all the game plan and the strategy at yung pag-sacrifices, it paid off. Eh what a jubilation na ginawa po ng ating kababayan. Eh ganun din po ang damdamin dito ng mga kaparian. Especially Aaron. Imagine nyo, siya po ang chief high priest. Siya po yung high priest na naghandog in behalf of all the people of Israel. From ages 12 upward, siya ang naging representante ng kanyang mga kababayan. At maaari siyang mamatay doon kung siya ay may sala at hindi siya malinis na humarap sa Diyos. Pero dahil sa kanilang mainam na pagsunod sa kautusan ng Diyos, Verse 24, then fire came out from the Lord and consumed. Meaning to say, God accepted the offering. The people's offering. Tagumpay, successful ang unang pagsamba ng bayan ng Diyos. But lo and behold, few hours later, this triumphant and glorious occasion ay nauwi sa isang madilim at malungkot na trahedya. Kamatayan ang sumunod sa chapter 10. So it is the same day. This is 8th day. It is just right after the ceremony. So imagine niyo, no? Kumbaga parang the height of emotion, the jubilation of people, and then all of a sudden, biglang may aksidenteng nangyari. Parang ganun po ang sitwasyon dito. Picture in your mind. No, imagine po ninyo, what if nung Monday after the celebration ni Heidelin Diaz, eh biglang nabagsakan yung kanyang coach na boyfriend niya at namatay. Eh siguro baka hindi na naibsan ang pagdiriwang probably ni Heidelin Diaz. Kung meron pong hindi magandang nangyari, o di kaya may masamang balitang dumating na may nangyari sa kanyang pamilya sa Zamboanga. Baka most probably ay nabuhusan ng malamig na tubig ang init ng kanyang pagsasaya. Eh ganun po ang nangyari dito mga kapatid. Right after chapter 9, it was a successful worship. Few minutes later, a tragedy happened. And this is the text that we are going to study. Chapter 10, verse 1. Ang sabi po dito, now Nadab and Abihu. Meaning to say, right after the event, na matapos na magmanguna ang kanilang ama na si Aaron, biglang pumasok sa eksena ang magkapatid na ito. Well, I would like to share with you as our outline three things. First, who were they? The primary characters in chapter 10, verse 1. Secondly, what did they do? The problem they created in verse 1 as well. And thirdly, how did it end? The punishment received. Verse 2. Ito po ang tatlong bagay na gusto ko pong tingnan natin sa pag-aaral natin ngayon dito po sa ating serye ng pag-aaral, The Tragedies of Youthful Rebellion. Ang mga trahedya nang yayari sa mga kabataang nangmumusong at naghihimagsik. First and foremost, the primary characters. Who were they? Sino ba itong dalawang magkapatid na ito? Sino ba si Nadab at si Abihu? Well, kung titingnan po natin sa Exodus chapter 6, turn your Bibles in Exodus chapter 6, verse 23, ito po ang sinasabi, naging asawa ni Aaron si Elisiba at anak ni Aminadab na kapatid na babae ni Ashlon. Ipinanganap nito ang kanyang mga anak, sina Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, at Itamar. On this particular verse, we see what? Na meron pong apat na anak itong si Aaron. Remember, keep in mind, Aaron is the high priest. At dito makikita natin, ang panganay ay si Nadab, ang sumunod ay si Abihu. And aside from them, may dalawa pang anak na lalaki. Ano pong makikita natin dito sa dalawang ito? Sila po ay lumaki, kasama nila na pagmasdan ang pangunguna ng kanilang tiyuhin na si Moses. Hindi natin maitatanggi that Nadab and Abihu grew with their uncle Moses, the great leader of their nation. Pwede nating sabihin, these two men, these two young men, grew up in a believing families. kung sa ating kapanahunan ay mga galing sila sa mga Kristiyanong pamilya. Ang kanilang magulang, ang kanilang mga kamag-anak, ang kanilang tiyuhin at pinsanin ay God-fearing families. They came from a God-fearing families. Nadab and Abihu also are part of those who made the exodus from Egypt going to this particular point. They are part of the generation that left Egypt during the time of their slavery, and they witnessed the very hands of God, the forefathers of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They were in a special and tremendous privileges. Nasaksihan nila, nakita nila, o maaaring naikwento sa kanila kung bata pa sila at musmus pa sila. Saan? Nung panahon ng ang kanilang mga angkan, ang kanilang mga ninuno ay tumawid sa dagat na pula. Na ituro sa kanila o kanilang narinig, na ikwento sa kanila the 10 plagues in Israel. And this is what is so special. Turn your Bibles in Exodus 24. Exodus chapter 24. In Exodus chapter 24, verses 9-10. Nang magkagayoy umakyat sina Moses, Aaron, Nadab at Abihu at mga 70 matatanda ng Israel, at kanilang nakita ang Diyos ng Israel sa ilalim ng kanyang mga paa, mayroong mga parang isang tungtungan na yari ng mga batong sefiko at tulad ng langit sa kaliwanagan. Well, this is one of the most account that we can say Nadab and Abihu are part of the men who witnessed personally the glory of God in Mount Sinai. Si Nadab at Abihu ay dinaig niya yung kanyang dalawang kapatid na nakababata, sapagkat na isama siya ng kanilang amang si Aaron, ng kanyang tiyuhing si Moses, kasama ng 70 elders of Israel sa mga tribong kinabibilangan, to witness the glory of God in Mount Sinai. What a privilege! Di ba? Isang napakaganda. No? Just imagine, nung nagbibigay na ng award, ng medal, eh si Mikey Kuwanko pala yung nag-aabot ng mga medals doon sa mga bilang member ng International Olympic Committee. At kitang-kita doon sa vision, talagang tuwan-tuwa si Mikey, no? Hindi siya pero bilang isang Pilipino, very proud siya at tinutuwan-tuwa siya. And just imagine, ganun na nangyari. Nakasaksi siya, hindi niya nakita ito sa telebisyon. First hand niyang nakita kung paano nanalo ang unang-unang Pilipinong atleta ng medalyang ginto sa Olympics. Eh, what a thrilling experience. Pero that experience na nangyari kay Mikey Kuwanko na nasaksihan niya last Monday, wala ito in comparison sa naranasan ni Nadab at Abihu. Sapagkat ang naranasan dito ni Nadab at Abihu, they have seen in their very own eyes the glory of God in Mount Sinai. Aside from that, they were set apart as priests. Kasama sila dun sa 7-day preparation para sa unang pagsamba in the religious system. They are part of the order of priesthood. In fact, they are in line next to their father as the high priest. So that someday, one of them, Nadab or Abihu, will be the next high priest. They had all the pleasant and wonderful and glorious spiritual experience. Ito po, yung dalawa. Who were they? The primary character, Nadab and Abihu. Secondly, what did they do? The problem they created. Again, as we go back in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, something terribly went wrong. Matapos po ang handugan at pagpapala at benediksyon ng kanilang ama, few minutes later, a tragedy happened na nasaksihan ng kanyang ama, ng kanyang tiyuhin, ng kanyang pinsanin, ng kanilang mga kamag-anak, and even the entire people of Israel. What terribly went wrong? That took place after a successful and glorious initial worship of God's people. Ang sabi po dito sa ating text, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offer a strange fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And what is this strange fire? In other translation, unauthorized fire. Well, I've consulted several commentaries, and commentaries says four things. Una, sabi po nila, ito pong magkapatid na si Nadab at Abihu, they probably use wrong utensils. It is not part of the materials in the tent of meeting. Kasi ang sabi po dito eh, they took respective fire pans. That's the first explanation kung ano daw po, what went wrong, bakit daw po nangyari, at ano daw po ang dahilan kung bakit hinatulan sila ng Diyos. The second explanation, it was an a generic incense that was not been set apart for the tent meeting. Gumamit daw po sila ng insenso na ginagamit po sa ibang lugar o sa ibang pagkagamit na hindi po ito daw yung tinalaga ng Diyos para sa templo lamang o para sa tabernakulo po lamang. Yan po yung sinasabi sa Exodus 30 verse 9. Ang pangatlong paliwanag po ng mga commentators, the offering of incense was right. Tama daw po yung elemento, tama daw po yung apoy, yung pong uling na ginamit. Subalit, it was premature. It was in the wrong time and order. Hindi pa raw po dapat nararapat na gawin iyon. Hindi daw po dapat kaagad-agad isinagawa ni Nadab at Abihu yun. Eh, yun po yung sinasabi sa Leviticus 16. Turn your Bibles in Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16 verse 1 and 2. Ang sabi po dito sa Leviticus 16 verse 1 and 2, nagsalita ang Panginoon kay Moses pagkamatay ng dalawang anak ni Aaron nang sila'y lumapit sa harapan ng Panginoon at namatay. So, makikita po natin dito is sequential. Right after nung paghahandog ng kanilang ama, after giving and proclamating the benediction, and the Lord honored the offering of the people by sending fire out to the and consume the sacrifices, hindi pa daw po dapat isinagawa ni Nadab at Abihu yung kanilang ginawa. And the fourth explanation of what is this unauthorized fire, Nadab and Abihu used ordinary coals not commanded by the Lord. Ang ginamit daw po ni Nadab at Abihu ay yung ordinaryong uling na hindi po itinalaga ng Diyos para sa gawain sa tabernakulo. And many of the commentators are using this common view that Nadab and Abihu did not follow yung pong coal o yung uling na dapat na itinalaga para sa templo lamang na gamit, at gumamit sila ng kakaibang uling. Bukod po doon, kung titingnan po natin, Hindi lamang po yun ang kasalanan ng magkapatid na ito. Hindi lamang po ang kasalanan nila that they use an authorized fire or strange fire. Actually, their sin is not just outward, but inward. It is an act of rebellion. That is the very specific, after a very specific and clear command from the Lord, stated from chapter 8, binasa ho natin kanina, ilang beses pa ulit-ulit, just as the Lord commanded through Moses. Maliwanag po, it is very specific, crystal clear, na wag silang gagawa ng pagsamba na hindi inayunan at sinabi ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ni Moses. By doing so, it is an act of the rebellion. It is an act of self-willed worship. Gumawa sila ng hakbang at sumamba sila sa Diyos sa paraan na gusto nila at hindi ayon sa gusto ng Diyos. They approach the Lord God by their own terms and condition by bringing, offering a coal not separate apart for the use of the tabernacle. But the question still remains, why did they impose their self-willed worship? Bakit po nila iginiit? Maliwanag, 7 silang pinaghanda. 7 silang binigyan ng maliwanag na instruksyon ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng Moses, just as the Lord commanded through Moses. Bakit po sa isang iglap, biglang nasunod yung gusto nila? Yun po ang isang dapat na tanong na dapat nating sagutin. Bakit po nila inimpose yung kanilang sariling kagustuhan at paraan sa kanilang pagsamba sa Diyos, sa kanilang pagharap sa Diyos, matapos ng isang maliwanag na utos mula sa Diyos? Well, ang sagot po sa tanong na yan ay makikita natin in verses 8 to verse 9. Follow me, mga kapatid. Follow me, viewers. In verse 8, dito makikita natin, anong sabi? The Lord then spoke to Aaron. Wait! Alam niyo po ba, prior to verse 8, ang Diyos ay nakikipag-usap sa pamamagitan ni Moses. This is the first time in the book of Leviticus, even in the book of Moses, in the book of Exodus, this is the very first time that God spoke directly to Aaron. Previously, lahat po dumadaan kay Moses. Kaya nga mahalaga kanina, binalikan natin yung mga talata. Just as the Lord commanded through Moses. Why? Because in chapter 10 verse 8, this is the very first time God spoke to Aaron without the mediation of Moses. Why? Eh, alalahanin po natin, nasaksihan ni Aaron ang pagpatay ng Diyos sa kanyang anak. Bilang isang ama, anong damdamin mo? Bilang isang ama, maaaring pumasok sa iyo ang at igigiit mo at iiral sa iyo ang pagiging ama. Magkakaroon ka ng katanungan, Panginoon, bakit? Bakit mo pinatay at bakit mo hinatulan, bakit mo sinunog ang aking 2 anak? Remember in verse 3, anong sabi ng verse 3? Then Moses said to Aaron, the Lord spoke saying, by those who come to near me, I will be treated as holy and before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron therefore kept silent. Eh, lagay mo yung sarili mo kay Moses, kay Aaron. Nasaksihan mong namatay ang iyong anak. Kayo ba'y hindi magbibigay ng iyong emosyon, ng iyong opinion o katanungan sa iyong isip? Bilang isang tao, definitely may lumalarong katanungan sa iyong isip. And this is the reason why God spoke directly to Moses, to Aaron. Hindi dumaan kay Moses. Kumbaga parang winan-on-one ng Diyos si Aaron. At para ipaintindi sa kanya bilang ama, yung kanyang nasaksihan, bakit? Verse 9, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you or your sons with you when you come into the tent of meeting so that you may not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generation. Yun po ang dahilan. Yun po yung dahilan kung bakit nangahas si Nadab at Abihu na humaghandog sa kanilang sariling kaparaanan. Why? Because this suggests, verse 9 suggests that these two brothers were drunk. Lasing sila. They were both under the influence of intoxicated substance. At this explains why they were behaving differently. Hindi pa ganyan ang ginagawa kapag ang isang tao ay under sa impluensya ng alak. Pagka-dipsy na o kaya bangag na, gaano man siya ka-respetado sa lipunan, respetado sa kanyang komunidad o sa kanyang lipunan, kapag siya ay nahulog sa kasalanan ng kalasingan, he will do things inappropriate. Dahil wala na siya sa sariling katinuan. Imagine nyo, no? I'm just imagining, itong dalawang magkapatid na ito, tuwang-tuwa sila. Marami silang na-experience. Nakita nilang kalulatian ng Diyos. Uy, kasama pa kami sa kaparian. Uy, natapos namin ang 7 araw ng paghahanda. Tara, tol! Magdiwang tayo! Inom tayo! Eh, nasobrahan sila ng inom. That's the problem. They put into disgrace. They despise the Lord. As a result, they despise their father. They despise their immediate family. They put into disgrace their relatives, the entire clan of priesthood, and the entire nation. Why? Because of their drunkenness. The sin of drunkenness. Ito po ay isang malungkot na kaganapan. Pinapakita at nagtuturo ang Diyos kung paano po siya dapat sambahin. And this is the principle na tinuturo ng Diyos sa kanyang bayan. Verse 3, and Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. Hindi ba yan po yung ating pinakaunang mensahe last Sunday? The character of God, holiness, is one of the highlights of the book of Exodus. God keep on saying this book, be holy, for I am holy. Bilang isang maliwanag na aplikasyon, mga kapatid, ang ating pong henerasyon ngayon ay lihis na sa usapin ng pagsamba. Our generation is a generation of worship as an entertainment rather than worship as an exaltation of God according to what He requires. In the 80s, in the dekada 80 at 90, dyan po nagkaroon ng maraming pagkakahati-hati ng mga iglesia. Sa anong paksa? Sa paksa ng pagsamba. Between the praise and worship thing and the orthodox worship. Eh, hindi na ako lalayo dyan. Ang TNC po, kayo, ang iglesia, hindi pa ako kabilang. Eh, kayo'y nakaranas kung paano ko kayo naging nagkahati dyan. Saan? Sa usapin ng doktrina sa pagsamba. From 1988 to 1995, normative principle kayo. Pero nung 1996, nagpasya ang ilang pamilya sa inyo na bumukod upang sumunod sa salita ng Diyos pagdating sa usapin ng pagsamba. Young generation, beware of religious innovation. And yan ang mga nangyayari sa ating kapanahunan. Let's put and add some people on the stage. Let's put the man behind the pulpit on the back or on the side. No, let's put a lady instead. O di kaya i-tone down natin yung minuto ng pangangaral. Masyadong mahaba mangaral si pastor. Nakakaantok na. E dagdagan natin ng musika, dagdagan natin ng masasayang awitin, dagdagan natin ng instrumento, ng orchestra. And let's put the pulpit on the side and let others stand and lead the worship. Masyado ng old-fashioned ang iglesia ngayon. Obsolete na. Let's put some energy, some pomp and show. Let's raise our hands and clap and dance. And that's been happening in our generation of worship. We need fresh approach, new methods, so that we can encourage people to come to our building. Eh kaya nilalangaw ang iglesia nyo eh. Hindi nyo naaakit ang mga tao sa labas. Hayaan nyo magpahayag ang mga mananamba sa paraan na gusto nila. And that is the problem of our generation today. But here we see a very clear lesson from God Himself. Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Thirdly and finally, how did it end? The punishment received. Verse 2, and the fire came out from the Lord's presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. The same fire na tinanggap ng Diyos ang handog sa chapter 9, verse 24, na inaprubahan niya ang regulative principle ng pagsamba na ginawa ni Aaron bilang high priest. Kaagad-agad pinakita niya ang kanyang pagtanggi sa ginawang pag-aalay ng maling apoy ng magkapatid na ito. Right there and then, a bolt of lightning, parang isang tinamaan sila ng kidlat, and they struck them down to the ground. Hindi po ito yung first biblical cremation. Hindi po. Kasi in verse 5, kung makikita nyo, and so they came forward to carry them still in their tunics. Binitbit po sila sa kanilang garment, priestly garment. So ibig sabihin, hindi po nasunog yung buong-buong katawan ng magkapatid. Binitbit po ng kanilang mga pinsan itong si Nadab at Abihu sa pamamagitan ng kanilang mga damit. Kaya commentators say, tinamaan sila ng kidlat. Eh what is lightning? It's a fire. And their bodies were laid outside the camp. And verse 6, Aaron and his sons were forbidden to mourn for the death of Nadab at Abihu. Pinagbawalan sila ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ni Moses. Op, op, op! Huwag kayong pipiyok, huwag kayong iiyak, huwag kayong magre-rebelde, huwag kayong magtatanong. Op! Bakit? Susunod kayo. Yun ang sinasabi dito ng Diyos. Surely as a father, Aaron was troubled. Surely, Aaron as a father, he was upset. He will definitely raise a question and object to what happened to his boys. He deserved an explanation as a father. But again, in verse 3, Aaron did not say a word. Why? Because God reminded them through Moses this very important principle: by those who come near me, I will be treated holy. And before all the people, I will be honored. Imagine niyo, mga kapatid, listeners, viewers, ito po ang unang pagsamba. Pero pwede niyong sabihin at pwede nating pangatwiranan, bakit hindi pinagbigyan ng Diyos? Bakit hindi pinalampas ng Diyos? Sana pinatawad na lang ng Diyos ang bagay na ito. Kasi trial pa lang una pa lang Napakahigpit naman ng Diyos. Napakabagsik naman ng Diyos. Well, pinapakita po dito ang dalawang bagay. Una, bilang maliwanag na aplikasyon. Kung hindi po, let's say, pinalampas ng Diyos yun, ano ang papasok sa isip ng mga priesthood? Pwede pala magawa rin. Diba? And this is contrary to the very character of God. The character of true, righteous, and holy. Two things as lessons. Or three things. First, we must take God and His Word seriously. Yan po ang unang-unang aral na dapat nating makuha at matutunan sa aral na ito. Viewers, TNC members, visitors, we must take God and His Word seriously. If God will allow such disgrace led by Nadab and Abihu, what would be at stake? Ano po ang nakataya kung pinalampas ng Diyos ito? Ang nakataya po ay yung kanyang kabanalan. At ano pong sasabihin ng mga tao, ng mga kaparian, kung hindi po siseryosohin ng tao ang Diyos, mauulit at mauulit ang ganitong kapanghasang ginawa ng magkapatid na ito. Dito maliwanag pinapakita that God is giving them a clear example what will happen if they do not take God's command seriously. And sad to say, that's how people nowadays lack in their spiritual life. People are no longer taking God and His Word seriously. Sinabi ng Diyos, iisa lamang ang tagapamagitan at tagapagligtas. Pero anong ginagawa ng tao? Sinusubukan pa rin niyang maligtas sa kanyang sariling gawa. Sinasabi ng Biblia, tingnan mo ang ginawa ni Kristo sa krus. Yan ang turo at sabi ng Biblia. Pero anong ginagawa ng tao? Yung kanyang pag-aabuloy, yung kanyang pagsisimba, yung kanyang panata, yung kanyang paggawa, yung kanyang pagsimba. People are not taking God seriously. People keep insisting their own self-willed worship. Self-willed concept how to be saved. Paano sila mapatawad sa kanilang kasalanan? Iginigiit nila, hindi, sa pamamagitan pa rin ito, ng imaheng ito, sa pamamagitan ng pagluhod, sa pamamagitan ng pagpapanata ko. People are doing just like what Nadab and Abihu have done. Samantalang maliwanag ang turo ng salita ng Diyos. There is no saving relationship apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No one will inherit eternal life. No one inherit the kingdom of God apart from the saving relationship with Christ Jesus. Kapag sinabi ng Biblia, children, obey your parents in the Lord for you will live long life. Totoo yun. At huwag kang manghahas na suwayin yun. baka you may suffer and die young. When the Bible teaches hell, we ought to believe there is hell. And when the Bible says there is heaven, there is a real heaven. When the Bible says those who are in Christ will be secured eternally, but those who refuse and reject Christ will be doomed eternally in hell. Totoo yun. We have to take God and His Word seriously. Second lesson, the judgment of God is true and righteous. Totoo ang parusa ng Diyos. Totoo ang hatol ng Diyos. At ito'y makatwiran. In human system, in human judicial system, napakaraming flaw. Napakaraming mga lapses. Napakaraming mga error. Imagine nyo, nakulong ng 25 taon and then after i-review yung case, nasabing wala pala siyang sala. Ayan po ay sa justisya ng tao. Maaaring magkamali sapagkat hindi ito perpekto. Subalit sinasabi ko sa inyo, ang justisya ng Diyos ay totoo at makatwiran. Kung ikaw, makikita mo ang sarili na ikaw ay nasa impyerno, nararapat lang na ikaw ay nasa impyerno. In fact, lahat tayo ay dapat sa impyerno. That's the fact. We are all deserved to hell, for we are all sinners. Lastly, not only we need to take God and His Word seriously, not only the judgment of God is true and righteous, but thirdly and lastly, worship in reverence and awe is the acceptable attitude and atmosphere to God. Turn your Bibles in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebreo, kabanatang 12. Talatang 28 and 29. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and with awe. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. That verse 29 is taken from Leviticus chapter 10 verse 2. Na anong prinsipyo po? By those who come near, I will be treated as holy. At yan ang problema mo, kaibigan. Yan ang problema nating lahat. Ikaw at ako ay hindi maaaring makalapit sa Diyos na banal. Sa kadahilan ng tayong lahat ay nagkasala. In our thoughts, in the motive of our hearts, in our deeds, in our tongue, in our activities, we are all sinners. At hindi ka maaaring makalapit sa pamamagitan ng iyong sariling kalinisan at katwiran. Walang sino mang tao ang maaaring makalapit sa Diyos dahil sa kanyang kabanalan. Ito ang dahilan kung bakit kanyang ipinangako, kanyang itinalaga, at kanyang isinagawa ang isang tao, ang Diyos na nagkatawang tao, ang buktong na anak na walang iba kung hindi si Kristo Jesus, ang tagapamagitan, ang naging sakripisyo at naging pari at all the same time para ikaw ay mahugasan, upang ikaw ay mapatawad, upang ikaw ay mabayaran sa iyong mga pagkakasala. Na sa katawan ni Kristo, tinanggap niya ang hatol. Siya yung tumanggap ng parusa, the righteous punishment from God. He took it in His body, the very wrath of God. His body was consumed to die and to death. Kaya po siya inilibing. Pero hindi po natalo siya ng kamatayan. After 3 days, bumangon siya just as He promised, upang patunayan na nagtagumpay siya sa kamatayan. God made Jesus to receive all the blows on your behalf, that you may be righteous, that you may be forgiven, and that you may be acceptable to God. Look to Christ. Look to Him and come to Him now with repentance and faith in the cross of Christ. And be safe. And have a meaningful and wonderful worship, acceptable worship sa pamamagitan ni Kristo. Tayo manalangin. Dakilang Diyos, amang nasa langit, tulungan mo po kami na maunawaan ang katotohanan ng iyong salita. At mailapat ito, O Diyos, nang may kaayusan at kahusayan patungkol sa aspeto ng aming pagsamba, paglapit sa iyo. Those who come near you must treat you as holy. Turuan po kami, O Diyos, patuloy sa aming pananambahang ito. Sa pangalan ni Kristo Jesus.